It's been 4 days since the mine explosion in West Virginia that killed at least 25 people and four others still missing, the worst mining disaster in a quarter century. The mine is owned and operated by Massey Energy, and its CEO, Don Blankenship, is a man with a considerable amount of power in West Virginia. The recent accident has drawn a lot of attention to Massey that may have been predictable. The company's been cited for 458 safety violations in 2009, 122 so far in 2010. In this month alone, there have been 58 safety violations. Massey Energy is the fourth largest coal company in the U.S. In West Virginia, it's number one. We're joined now by Ellen Smith, who edits the newsletter Mine Safety and Health News. Also with us, Ian Urbina, the national correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, who reported this week from the scene of the accident in West Virginia. And Ellen, let's go to you first. I want to play with from you a clip from CEO Don Blankenship. He's saying that Massey actually is safer than other mines.
Based on what we know, the due diligence we've done on acquisitions, the times we've been in and around other mines, that our mines are typically in better shape than others that are in the area or in the country.
Ellen, fact check that for us. Is that true?
With this particular mine, that's certainly not the case. I decided to do some comparisons with other underground bituminous coal mines in 2009. I looked at some numbers around the country, as he said, and I decided to look at some mines in West Virginia. And some of the mines I knew nothing about. I had never even heard of their names. And the bottom line is that this mine, the Upper Big Branch mine, got 56 orders last year. Those were serious, serious violations. They could have caused injury or death. They got 56 orders. No other mine comes close. As a matter of fact, the one mine, Deer Creek Mine, Energy West Mining in Utah, had one order since 1995, 104D2 order. We decided to look at Massey's Aracoma mine, the site of a disaster back in 2006. Number of orders was 11 for 2009, certainly not the 56 that we saw with that mine. Another mine in West Virginia, Eastern Associated Coal, Federal Number 2, 6 orders for last year, not even close to that Upper Big Branch mine.
Well, it sounds like your dogs are also very excited about being
Sorry.
On the radio. That's totally okay. But I wanted to play for you another clip. The one we just heard was Blankenship speaking to CNN. This is the CEO speaking to ABC's Diane Sawyer.
Well, I think every accident should be prevented, and you know, it's what the definition of an accident is. But
could you have prevented it? Is there anything you could have done?
Not that we know of.
Okay. Do you know of ways in which this accident could have been prevented?
I know of one accident that was not preventable that I can think of, and that was the Sago accident. I mean, that was a lightning strike. And, you know, no one knew that it was a lightning strike at the time, and we sort of all pointed our fingers at that company, which had that mine had a lot of violations as well. However, in this case, I'm starting to look at the ventilation. I've been questioning the ventilation all along. I was looking at the ventilation map yesterday. I talked to two engineers. I've got a question into another engineer. There is an amazing, I call it a circuitous ventilation route. I mean, that air has to travel 4 miles to ventilate where the miners are working. And
wow.
I've had two engineers tell me that we've got to look at this plan, and they're questioning how MSHA approved this plan, how good was MSHA's review. And one engineer said this may be a case of MSHA's inability to provide competent review of a critical mining plan.
Okay, Ian Urbina, let's talk to you now. And Ian Urbina is a national correspondent for our partner in the New York Times, has been covering this accident in West Virginia. Tell me a little bit about Don Blankenship. I mean, this is a man who was the subject of a Supreme Court decision in terms of his tampering with judges at the West Virginia Supreme Court. This is a man who's been accused of trying to buy elections. Who is this guy?
I mean, he's a controversial figure in the state and a really powerful one. The joke is that he's sort of a de facto governor of the state, in large part because his company has such a role in providing jobs in the state, and also because he throws around his money to a significant degree in political elections. I mean, it's a state where a typical race may see $20,000 of political money, but Blankenship put, you know, between 03 and 06, $6 million into political races and issues that he cared about. He's a staunch Republican and a big backer of Republican candidates in the state that's historically been Democrat. He's also a real opponent of unions and is credited with having sort of started the decline of union membership in West Virginia, or having played a big role in that. This is a state that used to be strongly unions. Now only less than a quarter of coal miners in West Virginia are union. Massey Mines are completely non-union. He's also a figure that's attracted controversy because Massey is a major player in the mountaintop removal mining, which is a type of mining that has attracted a lot of attention lately from environmentalists and federal regulators for what's seen as a very destructive way that it gets the coal out of mines by exploding the tops of mountaintops and getting at the coal seams that way.
Ian,
so
I was just going to say he has given a lot of money to charitable societies. However, in 2005, there was a rather infamous memo he wrote to employees in which he said, and I quote, "If any of you have been asked by your group presidents, your supervisors, engineers, or anyone else to do anything other than run coal, build overcasts, or do conjunction jobs or whatever, you need to ignore them and run coal." People say this is a guy who is not concerned about anything other than his bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the general perception of him. He's a very blunt guy and is unapologetic about the fact that he's running a business that is seeking profit. That attracts a lot of anger from those who think he needs to care more about safety and workers' rights.
Ian Urbina is the national correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. We also spoke with Ellen Smith, a mine and safety expert and editor of Mine Safety and Health News.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.